Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Well, welcome and thank you for joining in to Multifamily Matters, the only broadcast radio show in the nation that is solely dedicated to the multifamily industry. I'm Paul Marks, your host, and we have a great show today with wonderful guests who are experts on the topic of today's show. So, you own or manage multifamily properties. Inevitably, there is a construction project that crops up that is beyond the expertise or the availability of your on-site maintenance team. When does it make sense to get some outside help, and what are the benefits of doing that? With this in mind, our topic today is the importance of qualified vendors and general contractors. Joining me in the studio are three longtime multifamily industry veterans. First, a frequent guest on this show, Stephanie Grace, co-founder and CEO of Q10 Property Advisors, and Clark Craig, regional vice president of Fidus Construction Services. Also with us is Peggy Charles, account manager with Fidus Construction Services. Thank you guys for coming in today.
Thank you for having us.
So, first of all, just for the benefit of our listeners, Clark, you've been in the management side of the multifamily for 25 or so years prior to joining Fidus. So you have a true understanding of what the management side goes through when they're looking at projects and budgeting and all that. And of course, Peggy, you've been in the industry on the vendor side for many, many years, quite a few years, ever since I've known you, which has been quite a long time.
25 plus
years. So let's talk about the topic and just kind of put it within the understanding of what we're going to be talking about today. Clark, what have you seen from the standpoint on your management side, Ed, and now that you've moved over to the vendor side with Fidus, as far as the choosing somebody to come in and help you when you have an issue on your property?
Well, in my opinion, so much of what happens in the property management side is, you know, a lot of times the management personnel don't have a true partner in the type of projects that they're doing. And what I mean by that is trying to find someone who's going to come in and actually do work with them, not just for them. And the idea with Fidus, I mean, after leaving property management, I decided to go do something completely different after so long. The idea of going with Fidus was the idea that we can develop that partnership with different clients and treat them as if, you know, they're a true partner in our business, because we're only going to be successful if they are, and we're only going to get more business from them if we do a good job for them. Mm-hmm. So often, though, a lot of management companies out there try to do so much stuff in-house because of expenses. I mean, mm-hmm. it is expensive to hire an outside contractor of any kind. And what we found, you know, a lot of times is that there are some who feel like they can have their maintenance personnel take care of things in-house, when really, from a warranty standpoint, from a true workmanship standpoint, it's better to go outside and find somebody who can come in, maybe pay a few extra dollars, have it done, but at least you know you've got somebody on the hook for it in case something happens down the road.
Yeah, and I would also think that if you have projects that are of some size and scope, that using your maintenance personnel takes them away from other things that are probably more important to your existing residents.
Absolutely. So often a lot of management companies have a certain number of maintenance personnel on their sites, and they're dedicated to certain jobs during the day. And a lot of times they go by the old 1 per 100 rule, which is fine. It works. But unfortunately, it doesn't free them up to do much else.
Right. So, Stephanie, what have you found as far as when you identify something on a property and what are kind of the parameters you try to use to say, well, this is beyond the availability or the expertise of my staff? How do you make that decision?
Sure. I mean, I think it's a balance. From the management perspective, it's always a balance between, one, is your maintenance team on site capable of doing the task that needs to be done? Two, what is it going to take them off of to be able to do this task? And then the third is the value time. You know what I mean? Sure, they may be able to change an entire AC unit, the inside and outside, but it's going to take them a day to do it. And in the meantime, I'm missing, you know, 20 work orders that they could be doing.
Right.
So from that value standpoint, sometimes it's difficult to make sure that, that people understand that there is a cost to utilizing outside sources, obviously, but there's also a cost to using your inside people. You know what I mean? If you're the cost that you're, the value that you're losing from doing the other activities. And there's some things that are just bad practice to keep in-house. We do a balance between general contractors that manage the entire process for us from start to finish. Those are big projects, maybe like an office remodel. But if we're going to be renovating apartments too, sometimes we use individual contractors. Selection of contractors and vendors that are reputable, that are members of the apartment association, that know our industry. I've had owners that have used vendors that are outside of the multifamily industry, and they've highly suggested that you use those contractors. And they come in, and there's a certain skill set that you need to utilize when you're working on people's homes, especially the difference between an A-class and a C-class property. All of those are kind of a balance in what we do from a management perspective. And having FIDAS with management personnel on their side, if you will, that understand the importance of that and understand the balance that we see on the management side is just invaluable in terms of us on the management side to have that partnership.
And I would think that, you know, obviously there are vendors and contractors who have no management experience as far as on the management side of the multifamily industry. But Clark, I know that since you moved over there, what has your management experience allowed you to do to be able to help to become that partner that you were discussing?
Well, you know, one of the things that I found when I was on the management side is that all too often the contractors that are brought on the site, it doesn't matter if it's a general contractor or just an electrician or a plumber or whatever, they're not actually managing the job for the management personnel. And all too often, the manager ends up running the job, which I'd rather have the manager, when I was on the management side, focusing on the day-to-day operations of the property, not on the construction project or the different projects they're working on. So one of the things that we kind of try to bring to the table is, you know, you've got a dedicated construction manager for that job. So they're always out there. I mean, they're going to, even if I have a construction manager that has four different projects going on at once, they're going to touch and feel each one of those properties every day. They're going to talk to each one of those managers every day, find out what issues they're having. If there's been an overspray to a car, or if there's been a roof shingle dropped on someone's head, God forbid. You know, we're fully aware of what's going on. And if there's someone who drives over a nail in the parking lot, our managers that are actually our construction managers have already given a stack of their business cards to that property manager. So that if there's an issue like that, they hand them the card. They hand that to the resident. We take care of the resident. Right. My guys have been known to take people down, like follow people down to the car wash, drop their car off, and drive them back to the property while their car's getting clay barred because of overspray. It happens. So I think the key is trying to take the load off the management personnel because they've got enough on their plate every day as it is. And that's just something we bring that's a little bit different than most. In my opinion.
Yeah. And on the on-site personnel, I mean, their job is managing and leasing apartments. It's not figuring out what the pitch should be on an ADA ramp. And so, you know, you have those problems where you have your manager, maybe the supervisor is working on other things, and you have your manager that's facilitating that construction process, and you show up. I showed up at one of my properties, and there's a handicap ramp, and there's a 2-inch step from the handicap ramp to the entry door. Well, where in the scheme of things did anybody think this was a good idea? You know, and the construction guy or the vendor is saying, well, you know, we couldn't make it ADA. The pitch wasn't right. OK, well, it's not ADA anyway. So why didn't we just put a sign that says not ADA and work on that instead of having a step that everybody's tripping over? And so because you let the manager facilitate that with an individual vendor, sometimes you get those problems. And so it ends up costing you more money because you didn't find a partner and know the expectations with that relationship with your vendor. Because I think expectations are also very important frequently. And I'm sure that they'll agree is that we ask for things, then we don't know what we're asking for from the management side. And so we call with these requests and there's no set scope of work on our end. We just call and say, hey, I want to get this thing done. And then we rely on them to put the scope together for us. And then we're like, yeah, that's fine. They start that process, and then 3 weeks into it, that's not at all what I wanted, but I didn't have a clear scope because I'm not a construction manager. I'm an apartment manager. And so now we're back to square one, and expectations are really important in those relationships.
Absolutely.
Peggy, I was going to ask you because you're out there on the front lines talking to managers and looking at projects, what types of projects do you come across, the most frequent ones that people are looking for outside help with?
Usually exterior paints, siding repairs, a lot of concrete repair in Houston.
Right.
Because of our great soil that we have here.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we're going to take a break. We are going to be back after these messages. You are listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Property and liability insurance is one of your highest expenses. Put Ted W. Allen and Associates' 50-plus years of experience in multifamily insurance to work for you. If you have multiple properties on separate policies, you may qualify for a master policy, which can eliminate the need for multiple insurance renewals and provide you significantly lower premiums. Call Ted W. Allen and Associates at 281-378-7500. That's 281-378-7500. Or online at tedwallen.com.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220. Looking for cost savings and curb appeal? Call WaterLogic, the nation's specialist in multifamily property water management. Using interactive, smart water technology, WaterLogic's professionals can help you save up to 40% on irrigation water annually, potentially adding tens of thousands of dollars back into your budget. Call WaterLogic at 713-983-9555 for a no-cost irrigation usage analysis. Your property will look great, and you'll be a hometown hero.
Well, we're back, and you're listening to Multifamily Matters, and we're discussing the importance of qualified vendors and general contractors. I'm Paul Marks. And joining me is Stephanie Graves, co-founder and CEO of Q10 Property Advisors, and Clark Gregg, regional vice president of Fidus Construction Services, as well as Peggy Charles, account manager with Fidus Construction Services. Before we jump back into the conversation, I want to remind our listeners that if you would like to provide show topics or guest ideas or suggestions of any kind, or just listen to any archived episode of Multifamily Matters, please go to our website at www.multifamilyradio.com. We were talking about in the break a little bit about expectations and the expectations from both sides. Let's start out with that. What are some of the major expectations, Stephanie, that you have? And then Clark, what are your expectations of the management side?
Yeah, I think from a management perspective, we're looking for communication. You know, Clark talked a little bit about that. I think communication with the vendor, we expect the vendors and the contractors we work with to have a valid knowledge of what they're doing. And so, you know, if this isn't any dig on anyone, but when you have an account rep, like a flooring rep that comes out and services your property, and they know nothing about flooring, and they're selling you on something, and then the flooring guys come and say, we can't even do that. If you're working with a vendor and, you know, there are people that have to hit the ground running and have to go sell concrete, you know, Peggy may not know everything there is to know about concrete, but having a vendor relationship where they understand that they have a professional on their side that can say, you know what, Stephanie's got this crazy concrete repair and I'm not quite sure how it is. Let me get someone specializing in concrete. So not only are they there to do the work, but they're there to kind of serve as a liaison to make sure that us as managing agents have a good knowledge of what we're doing and we're making educated decisions. You know, we may have an AC that's leaking in a way that my maintenance has never seen before. You know, I count on my vendor relationships to be able to call somebody and say, hey, we've got this really weird thing happening with an AC. I've talked to three of my maintenance guys. Nobody knows what's happening. Can you come out and kind of take a look about that? And so having vendors that understand that and understand that this is a partnership, if you will, and multifamily is so, I mean, generous in that ball game, because the vendors understand that it is a partnership. Every time I call you out, may not be that you're going to get a bid or a job that time. But building those relationships so that you have them long term is important. We expect communication. We expect our vendors to vet their subcontractors that they may do. Understand that that maybe Fidus isn't the contracting company that's going to actually do the work. They're going to facilitate to subcontractors. That should be an expectation you should understand. So you may have somebody coming out from another vendor, and they should be facilitating that relationship and making sure that all those people have the proper insurance, know that they have to wear proper clothing on property. You know, we've come on a Saturday before and had a contractor that had somebody out, and a guy's like painting the inside of an apartment with his shirt off. You know, obviously I would expect to be able to call Clark and be like, Clark, I have a half naked man in my apartment and I need you to fix this problem. So, you know, those kind of things, to have an open relationship and be approachable and know what they're doing is important.
I think not only that, but just the honesty perspective of it too. I mean, then it goes both ways. I mean, you got to make sure that you've got someone who's going to tell you like it is. He's going to be honest with you up front from the very beginning, both on the management side and the vendor side, that they're going to put their best foot forward. And even if something goes wrong, take responsibility for it and move on. Mm-hmm. All too often, people have a tendency to shun responsibility whenever something goes wrong on a project. And then just speaking from a construction perspective, no project goes perfectly. Mm-hmm. Never has. It never will. Mm-hmm. It's a matter of how you make your mistakes right when they do occur. Because, like recently, we just had a car get oversprayed at one of our properties that we're doing a big paint job on. The resident decided to take it upon himself to take his car into a collision repair place rather than reporting to the office. He took it to a collision repair place, and he ended up spending $3,000 to get his weather stripping replaced around his windshield, which to me is way excessive. I've never heard of that happen before. The management company came to us and told us what happened. As much as we wanted to bark and complain about the fact that that wasn't our fault and that he went way overboard, we paid the $3,000 just to make it go away. Mm-hmm. It's a matter of just taking responsibility, hopefully learning from your mistakes as they occur and making it right the next time.
Mm-hmm. But that's joint too, I think. I think frequently, I don't want to say frequently, ever so often you hear, you know, that bad relationship between a managing company or an owner and a vendor, where the management company or the owner blames everything on the vendor, right? And so sure. I think sometimes you guys are in a bad spot too.
I agree.
And making sure that you have those expectations of, you know, hey, 50% of this is my fault and 50% of this is your fault. You know, we're all in the business to make money.
Yeah.
And so if there's a fair relationship, I think from a management perspective, it's important that those people that have those relationships understand that, you know, yeah, the vendor's making money, but they're not making that much money that they can afford when you make the mistakes.
Right, sure. No, you know absolutely. I mean?
And they're in a bad spot, right? Because then you got to tell me, well, mm-hmm. you're the one that drew the plans.
Yeah.
Right? And so
true.
From a vendor perspective, that's difficult as well. They're in a bad spot. Like, you're a customer. They want to make sure that you understand you're always right. However, when you provide us with a scope of what you expect to be done, mm-hmm. so that good relationship where the vendor can say, hey, I'm not so sure that your plan's going to work.
Right.
Can maybe we revise it to make it a little bit more friendly for everyone?
Absolutely. And I will say also that it's our responsibility to vet our clients just as much as their responsibility to vet their vendors. Mm-hmm. I mean, we want to make sure that it's going to be a good partnership both ways. We're not just going out there, just like Stephanie's not just going out there to grab management contracts, you know, to just for the sake of having business. You want to make sure that you're partnering up with the right person, mm-hmm. and the right people, and that they kind of share some of the same values and work ethics that you do, because it can go sideways really quickly if you don't have that on one side or the other.
Mm-hmm. Or you're just trying to sell something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, the idea is to get repetitive business. The idea is not to go in and just do it once and done, and we'll see it at the next association event.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know, I had the opportunity last week to go to a pre-construction meeting at a property, and they had on site for the meeting. Normally, it would just be with the manager of the site, but they had two regional maintenance people, mm-hmm. as well as the on-site maintenance person and the manager in the mm-hmm. meeting. And they asked some great questions.
Sure.
I mean, and I walked out of there impressed that they answered the questions. So I went and wrote the president of the company that owns and manages the property, how impressed I was, and that he assembled a great team, and congratulations.
That goes a long way.
He was so thankful that I took the time to let him know.
Sure.
That. But when you start out with that communication,
yeah,
that if anything does come up, you're going to be able to work through it.
Right.
And you feel good about that.
You feel good about it. But they asked a lot of great questions, and having those types of encounters with management from a vendor standpoint, I think is really important. Mm-hmm. If you can kind of try to make that happen as much as possible. Insurance. Let's talk a little bit about insurance from the standpoint of why is it important to make sure that you're dealing with a contractor who is fully insured.
Well, I mean, you want to protect yourself. You know, not only does should the contractor want to protect themselves, but the management personnel want to protect themselves as well. So a lot of times what we'll do, you know, different management companies have different requirements as far as insurance goes. We'll adapt however we need to in order to accommodate that. But it's really critical. I mean, if say one of your guys backs into a Mercedes on a property with one of our work trucks, which all of us drive Fidus trucks. Mm-hmm. If you back into someone's car on the property, you want to make sure you're covered to be able to take care of that resident's vehicle or that whoever it is vehicle. You know, from a liability standpoint, it's really important to carry at least $1 million general liability. You know, a lot of companies are carrying more these days. We certainly do. Automobile, workers' comp, all that stuff is important from a protection standpoint for the management company and for the vendor in question. Mm-hmm. If they're not carrying the insurance, I would not recommend using them.
Mm-hmm. Peggy, do you have a lot of management companies when you're on the field asking? Do most of them ask?
They don't. I think they kind of assume that we do. But yes, when it comes down to an actual contract, they want to make sure you have insurance. Mm-hmm. I think it's just incredible that you would not. Mm-hmm. Have
now, I'll also say, you know, as difficult as it is to kind of navigate through at times, it's really important to have different programs like Compliance Depot and Notivus. These different warehouses basically that take care of following all of your. To take care of tracking your insurance, make sure it's not expired and stuff like that. I mean, a lot of different companies are using that these days. Yeah, you have to fill out a different form for every client out there, but it's well worth it. And mm-hmm. they keep up with that stuff for you in case somebody's insurance is getting ready to expire.
Yeah, and then it protects the management company as well as the vendor. We've had instances where we've had to suggest to the vendor, you know what, maybe we're at an impasse and maybe we should talk to your insurance about this. And that's what they're there for. You need to utilize those resources if there is a mistake or an accident. That's what insurance is for. And mm-hmm. so the vendors having that provides a second level. Usually when you're at an impact, when you're at a discussion about something or there's some claim, it's you want to continue doing business with that vendor. And in order to do that, sometimes you have to make an insurance claim.
I'm curious, in today's time, do you ever come across instances, Stephanie, where there's a contractor working on a job who doesn't have insurance? I mean, in other words, something that was done with the on-site team and they didn't check.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So that does happen.
Yeah. It still happens. Yeah. Still happens. And we have to vet our subs too. We got to mm-hmm. make sure our subs have insurance because we don't want them just falling under our umbrella. We want to make sure they have their own to fall back on in case something happens to one of their guys.
Okay.
But yeah, it does happen though. There are plenty of fly-by-night vendors out there that somehow get onto some of these properties. And usually it's the smaller properties, management companies, so they only own one property and are self-managing it.
I got you. All right. Well, we're going to take a break. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Looking for cost savings and curb appeal? Call WaterLogic, the nation's specialist in multifamily property water management. Using interactive, smart water technology, WaterLogic's professionals can help you save up to 40% on irrigation water annually, potentially adding tens of thousands of dollars back into your budget. Call WaterLogic at 713-983-9555 for a no-cost irrigation usage analysis. Your property will look great, and you'll be a hometown hero.
Your property and liability insurance is one of your highest expenses. Put Ted W. Allen and Associates' 50-plus years of experience in multifamily insurance to work for you. If you have multiple properties on separate policies, you may qualify for a master policy, which can eliminate the need for multiple insurance renewals and provide you significantly lower premiums. Call Ted W. Allen and Associates at 281-378-7500. That's 281-378-7500 or online at tedwallen.com.
We're back and you're listening to Multifamily Matters, and we're discussing the importance of qualified vendors and general contractors. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me is Stephanie Graves, co-founder and CEO of Q10 Property Advisors, and Clark Gregg, regional vice president of Fidus Construction Services, as well as Peggy Charles, account manager with Fidus Construction Services. I want to take a moment and thank our foundational sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. Econserve, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S. WaterLogic, the smarter way to water, providing professional irrigation water management. And Ted W. Allen and Associates, specializing in multifamily habitational insurance since 1967. So let's talk a little bit about budgeting and how these partnerships work and how a good qualified general contractor can help with budgeting. Stephanie?
Well, it's that time of year. For those of you that are new to multifamily or may not know, it's that budgeting time of year when we kind of all get together and look at the past expenses, the future expenses, anything that you see on the property from a CapEx perspective. Things would be major fixes or deferred maintenance, anything that you want to change or budget for those following years. Right now is kind of when we get together so that we can perform and provide those budgets in October so that hopefully they get approved. And so in doing that, from a management perspective, we'll collect bids, we'll collect information, we'll look at the property and maybe have a 3 to 5 year goal on what we can get done. And then we hopefully provide some sort of scope of work of what we anticipate is going to be necessary for the future year. And then we go to various vendors and budget for what those are, because this is the time we get that approval from the owners on what we can afford next year. And we can schedule that out for the coming year. So
you'll actually do scopes.
Wow, yeah, well, you know, it's like a kind of a hey, this is what we think it is,
right.
And could you help us decide if that's really what we need, right?
Yeah.
And sometimes it's just, hey, I think we need to get rid of all of the, you know, rotted wood. Help me identify where that may be.
Sure.
So we try to put those together so that we can at least send them out to vendors and said, hey, this is what we're anticipating. Can you guys come and talk about it? We have two ways of doing it. If it's going to be a big project, sometimes we'll have the vendors all come at the same time, like two or three general contractors, mm-hmm. and say, hey, this is what we're looking for. This is what we're anticipating. And just so you know, you're all bidding the deal. So let's, you know, kind of that they know who their competition is. And so that helps us with relationships and they know who they're bidding against. And then they know that we're not just getting a third bid from them. Mm-hmm. Sometimes from a management perspective, we get 3 bids on things. And some vendors, you know, they get tired of being the person that you call that third time just to compare the rest of the prices.
Right.
And so if we set that standard up front and say, hey, these are the 3 vendors we're going to be getting bids from, I think it helps a little bit. But this is the time we do that for budgeting. So we'll call and say, hey, we're going to get all of our trees trimmed next year. And so we want to figure out what that price point's going to be. And vendors such as Fidus or an individual, a tree vendor may come out and bid that process and let us know what we can anticipate spending. And then we hopefully do a good job, not always, of communicating what's been approved and not been approved so that they know, hey, in March, we're going to cut our trees, mm-hmm. and follow up with me in February so that we can kind of get it on the schedule.
And does that filter down to the manager, or the managers on site making those calls,
yes.
specifically about
yeah.
their property?
Yeah, I think the majority of management companies involve the property manager in that perspective because they're kind of boots on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the approval process goes up, but you know, we go to our managers this time of year and say, okay, let's see what do you want next year? What's on your wish list?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, what do you have to have, and what are your, if we can afford it, have? And then we kind of siphon those through and say, okay, let's get bid for these 3 things, and then maybe that's not going to happen. So I think having those clear expectations with the vendors and making sure that the vendors and the GCs are going out to property around this time of year mm-hmm. to keep their face in front of them is important.
Yeah.
Because sometimes we get so busy on the management side. It's not that I don't want to call Clark. It's that he wasn't the last one that I saw and mm-hmm. I just forget about it.
Sure.
So people like Peggy being on my property regularly just to come by and say, hey, remember us, if you have any if you have any contracting things, please think about me. Mm-hmm. I think is probably, I would say, essential to the business long term.
Very much so.
Mm-hmm. And knowing that I can call Peggy, that she has the resources that I may not have, are important. So staying connected and keeping those relationships open, not only in the budget season, but through the year is important.
I'm going to touch on something else as far as the budgets go. Not only getting the several bids from different contractors is important, but making sure that they're all accurate and as close to apples to apples as possible. I mean, all too often you'll get wildly varying prices from different vendors because each person sees different things. So if you can get one really good scope together, whether the management personnel write it or the one contractor writes it, and then everybody builds their pricing based on that scope, mm-hmm. that can help enormously for all these management personnel. And with trying to convince their owners to go ahead and shell out the money that's going to cost to get that work done, because you'll see, all too often with different general, I'm just going to keep on speaking about general contractors, mm-hmm. we're all going to be relatively close on pricing. And as far as on a per square foot basis or a per linear foot basis or, per door basis for paint jobs and stuff like that. But like Stephanie said, it all has to do with how often you're in front of the people and reminding them that you're there. And we found that that's very true. We if we don't go out to a property or to a certain management company for months and months and months, how can we possibly expect to all of a sudden have an opportunity drop in our laps to go out there and do some work? Mm-hmm. You got to remain focused and you got to remain connected with the management personnel. This time of year is really critical for that. Mm-hmm. Even though we're doing the budgeting for this time of year for a lot of our management clients, the pricing is going to change between now and, say, March or April of next year. But we can at least give them a really good benchmark of what to budget for next year. And we might even tell them, you might add 10% onto that or 5% onto that. So this time next year, you're not caught with an enormously higher bid than what you were originally budgeting for. What we put forward in the fall may change a little bit by spring. So factor that into your budget. Mm-hmm. Makes it a little bit easier on their end.
Yeah, and right now, too, identifying what those projects are going to be that you're going to seek outside help for.
All right.
Yeah.
So, Peggy, when I guess you're pretty busy during budget season as far as visiting people.
Yes, very much so.
And so what types of projects are they asking you about?
A lot of it is exterior paints. Mm-hmm. They want the property to look good on the outside, so it draws people in. I'm doing some concrete repairs right now. I am doing some window repairs, making the windows that have all the little panes. We want to make it one full pane mm-hmm. so that people can see in better. And I'm doing a lot of power washing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
yeah, I don't think people think about that. Yeah, power washing is one of those ones that you think you can do in-house mm-hmm. until it takes 3 days right. to get the entire building done and your right. guy's been working and then you've got part of a sidewalk halfway done because you had an AC call in the middle yep. and they can't quite finish it and you got right. a design on your yep. sidewalk, you
Absolutely.
Know?
Absolutely.
Sometimes you need those power washing and those cleaning. We've hired people to just clean the breezeways before. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's something we can do, but we need a contractor to help us with that to mm-hmm. get it done because if not, you're getting half the breezeway done, half the day.
What are some of the life safety issues that come up when it comes time to look at a property that you get called on a lot, Clark?
As far as like for a due diligence standpoint?
Well, no, for just to get bids. I mean, what are the things you're seeing that are the priorities when it comes to safety?
Broken concrete, trip hazards, unstable walls. We see a lot of that in a lot of different areas that are maybe on these older buildings that don't have, say, hurricane straps behind the brick. A lot of these brick walls are starting to crumble a little bit, and you got to make sure and bolster the strength of those things. Mm. It's mainly, from what I've seen from a life safety standpoint, it's mainly lighting. I mean, more than anything else. A lot of people discount the fact that lighting is critical on a property, but it really is. And if you have some dark areas on a property, it's probably a good idea to go ahead and run an extra light out there. Mm-hmm. We haven't really experienced a whole lot of like really major things like, you know, a building falling over or anything
right,
like that.
Right.
But from a life safety standpoint, it's mainly, you know, being aware and making sure the management personnel are walking their sites and seeing that, okay, there's a trip hazard here. I need a budget for that for next year. Go through and count them all. Mm-hmm. Go out there and grind them down or replace the section of concrete that needs to be replaced just to make sure that somebody doesn't trip and fall.
Right. A lot of what I've seen on properties is that they'll take some paint and, you know,
and just mark the area.
And to them, they've taken care of it.
Which looks so great when you're walking through a property. Right. You see a whole bunch of yellow paint all over sidewalks.
Right. And I think you even mentioned on a previous show, Stephanie, that most people paint them incorrectly.
Mm-hmm, they do. Yeah. You're supposed to have two contrasting colors.
Yeah.
And so you'll see an orange on either side. Well, that doesn't do anything. It just makes it orange. You're supposed right. to have two contrasting colors. So you should have red on the top and yellow on the bottom so that they can see that there's a step there. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, those are those things that seem like they're so simple, but they get really expensive when you start looking at all these great trees that we have in Houston that we want for shade that are destroying all of our concrete. So we're guilty. We've got some properties that have some trip hazards that we just haven't been able to budget to get replaced. Mm-hmm. It's a balance, right? It's a balance between profits and all the other things that we do.
And we've got about 45 seconds left in this segment, but I just wanted to ask the quick question. You do your budget, you turn it into ownership, you have your wish list, and then what happens?
Well, you sit and wait.
Speaking for experience, it all depends on how deep the owner's pockets are and whether or not they're willing to part with any of that money in order to do the work. And we can touch on this in the next segment, but asset preservation is critical when it comes to these multifamily properties. You don't want to buy a multimillion-dollar property and just watch it go into the toilet. So you've got to make sure that you're maintaining it year over year. Otherwise, if you haven't done anything in 5 years, by that sixth year when it comes around, all of a sudden you've got to have this huge outlay of cash in order to bring it back to where it needs to be.
Right.
And with the market doing the way it's going as well as it is right now in Houston and in other areas in Texas, you can't afford to just let your property go downhill because you're going to have to compete against newer product.
Right. Okay. Well, we're going to take a quick break. We are going to be back with our fourth and final segment of Multifamily Matters. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Looking for cost savings and curb appeal? Call WaterLogic, the nation's specialist in multifamily property water management. Using interactive, smart water technology, WaterLogic's professionals can help you save up to 40% on irrigation water annually, potentially adding tens of thousands of dollars back into your budget. Call WaterLogic at 713-983-9555 for a no-cost irrigation usage analysis. Your property will look great, and you'll be a hometown hero.
Your property and liability insurance is one of your highest expenses. Put Ted W. Allen and Associates' 50-plus years of experience in multifamily insurance to work for you. If you have multiple properties on separate policies, you may qualify for a master policy, which can eliminate the need for multiple insurance renewals and provide you significantly lower premiums. Call Ted W. Allen and Associates at 281-378-7500. That's 281-378-7500. Or online at tedwallen.com.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220 for a free analysis of your property. That's E-Conserve at 713-662-3220.
Well, we're back with our final segment of Multifamily Matters, and we're discussing the importance of qualified vendors and general contractors. I'm Paul Marks, and my guests are Stephanie Graves, co-founder and CEO of Q10 Property Advisors, and Clark Gregg, regional vice president of Fidus Construction, as well as Peggy Charles, account manager with Fidus Construction. Let's talk a little bit about the importance of having these management contractor relationships when it comes to crises that occur in the multifamily industry, which could range from hurricanes to fires to wind damage and others. Stephanie, tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I mean, we're subject, obviously, to all kinds of catastrophes and hurricanes hit or fires. We've had a couple fires on our properties, and the general contractors and have been instrumental. I mean, if you have a – we had a whole building that was down. We had a general contractor that we had been working with, and they came out and kind of took everything soup to nuts, helped with the assessment project, making sure that we were communicating with the adjuster. You know, the simple things that you don't think about, like fencing up the building.
Right.
You know,
boarding
you need to, boarding up that building, making sure that your asset is secure while still making the changes you need or giving residents access. Lots of things that, you know, you're dealing as the management side of it. If you have a fire or a catastrophe, you're dealing with getting the residents settled. So you've got, you know, 15, 20 families that you've got to figure out where they're going to live. Was it their fault? Was it that not their fault? You know what I mean? Who started the fire? Or maybe there's a flood? Are your buildings flooding? I know that many in Houston, when we had floods during the hurricane, had those relationships with vendors that they were able to call immediately. Mm-hmm. And vendors were first responders, if you will, to help in that situation. And if you don't have solid relationships with vendors before there's a catastrophe or before you need them, it's very difficult. You know, obviously, you know, FITUS has a list of clients that they use on a regular basis. And if five of those six clients have properties that need assistance, then if I call and I've never used them before, their priority and their loyalty is going to be to get to those partnerships that they have. So making sure that you have solid vendor relationships with a respectful relationship. I've seen management folks before where they don't really respect that partnership. So making sure that you have a good relationship before a catastrophe happens is important.
I totally agree. I mean, I think that, you know, not only having the relationship is important, but making sure that contractor is capable of handling the work if it were to come down the pike. I know last year during Harvey, we weren't equipped to do any kind of emergency work.
We just weren't.
We were a relatively new company, and we weren't set up for emergency services like that. So I had several people calling me saying, hey, this storm is coming. Will you all be willing to be on our vendor list for this? I had to respectfully decline. Mm-hmm. Now I could do it, but last year I couldn't because I knew nothing about it. We didn't have the equipment. We didn't have storage lockers with stuff in there waiting to go. I feel like now we could ramp up to do something like that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think it's important that the contractor is also honest when they realize they can't do something, saying that they can't do it.
Absolutely.
Instead of committing to doing it and then not showing up.
Mm-hmm. Or not knowing if your people are capable. I mean, the other part of that is when you have a catastrophe, the people that you're expecting to help, the management folks, their houses could be flooded.
Sure.
Their apartments could be flooded.
Absolutely.
And so putting that burden on your employees too, knowing if your people are even capable during that time frame.
I completely agree. But I also touch on something else that Stephanie brought up. It has to do with that partnership and realizing that, you've got to be able to trust the vendors that you're working with. And just like the vendors have to be able to trust the management personnel, trust is the backbone of what we do on both sides of the table. Mm-hmm. And if you don't trust who you're working with and you can't put your faith in the fact that they're going to show up when they say they're going to show up and do the job that they're required to do, they're not worth the paper that their name is on. Mm-hmm. So I really feel like, especially in times of catastrophe, being honest and being straightforward with what you can and can't do is critical. We'd love to be everything to everybody, but we can't.
Right.
We realize that. So we try to be everything to some people.
Yeah.
And if we can do that, then we'll do just fine.
Right.
Well, I think trust on the management side is important, too. I mean, mm-hmm. There's many times where we took over an asset recently that had lots of delinquent invoices with vendors. So we took over $50,000, $60,000 worth of debt the day we took over the property. Mm-hmm. And so I personally had to make phone calls to those vendors and say, hey, we've taken over this property. I know they owe you money. We're trying to get it all squared away. As soon as I figure out where we are, we'll start making payment plans with you. And then I had vendors that were like, oh, well, you know, why don't you keep advertising or why don't you do this? And I had to say, no, mm-hmm. I don't want to get any deeper. Mm-hmm. And so we're just going to try to figure out what we're doing now until we can make sure that this is happening. The other part of it is that we have vendors that we have long-term relationships with that we were able to call and say, hey, we have these outstanding debts, but I need to get some carpet replacement. So what can we do? You know, can I pay you half now and half later? And so thank goodness that we've had those long-term relationships where people can, where they can know and trust that, you know, your word is your bond and I'm going to pay you. It's just going to take me, you know, 60 days to do so because, you know, things that were out of our control. So I think, you know, the vendors also, as certainly as a GC, takes a large risk when they sign $50,000 contracts with people.
Sure,
because
absolutely.
Sometimes there could be a loan draw process. You know, we go through that frequently where we have to get certain paperwork in order to get the loan draw process to get you paid. And so sometimes those 30-day payments can turn into 45 or 60 days because we're waiting on loan funding.
Yeah.
And so keeping that communication and making sure you're communicating with each other with those expectations is important. I'm sorry, I digress.
No, right.
That wasn't about
her.
Right.
I think communication is the key. Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit about city inspections what's involved in that.
So from a management perspective, it's always nice when you get a knock on the door and it's a nice city inspector with his ID that says, hi, I'm here to do a habitability study. I think on the outskirts of Houston, sometimes it's a little bit more intimidating because they're small municipalities and it's a little bit more difficult to navigate your way through. I feel like when we get a city inspection and there's more than one to two items on the list that we have to address, we immediately call a GC. Because my manager is already navigating leasing apartments, collecting rent, dealing with that city inspector. I don't need her also or him also dealing with figuring out what they can do to get this hit list done,
sure.
Which sometimes is in hieroglyphics because they don't really tell you what's wrong. They just say, hey, we're not sure that the water heaters are working.
Yeah.
Have them all inspected by an electrician.
They wield incredible power. To be able to, the requirements the city can put onto a management company are just amazing.
And they can make you go broke.
They really can.
You know, and so having a relationship with a GC that has a relationship with the city can make or break how that process is going to work.
Sure.
We've had them get us more time that we didn't think we'd had. You know, first it started with you have to get these done in 60 days. Then we can get a GC involved that has a relationship, or maybe they don't even have a relationship. They just are a legitimate general contractor that can go to the city and say, hey, we're on this project. We need a little bit more time. Here's the bids. Here's what we're doing, to not be like the management company not telling the truth. You know what I mean?
Right.
And trying to get around it. It really helps with that relationship.
Absolutely.
So with city inspections, I think it's critical to make sure that you have a good GC involved in that process to help you.
I agree. And touching on what you said about the smaller municipalities outside of town, I've got to be down in Baytown tomorrow, as a matter of fact, to walk a property that was recently inspected by the city of Baytown Habitability Department. And they can say just about anything they want. They're reporting that we have some balconies that are getting ready to fall off the building, and major shifting in the foundations on some of these buildings, and roofs that need to be replaced, and so forth and so on. The client, just like Stephanie was saying, clients kind of threw up their hands and said, y'all need to go down there and deal with this. So we're going to go down and taking a look at it and dealing with the city ourselves to see if there's some way we can kind of buy them some time.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just want to tell you, having a property in Baytown, the city officials in Baytown are amazing. They're brilliant.
They're
fabulous. We love them. They're so nice. Just want to make sure we put that on the air.
Hopefully they're listening.
It's pretty amazing though, especially if you've got a client who maybe hasn't spent the amount of time and money on their property over the past several years, what can rack up in that time?
Oh, yeah.
And all it takes is one inspector showing up at one time, and before you know, you got a 20-page report of things that need to be taken care of.
Right.
And there's no way you can get it done in the time frame.
No. And like Stephanie said, there's no way you can expect your management personnel on site to take care of all that stuff.
To get the vendors necessary. Usually it's electrical and roofing and plumbing. And you've got
everything else.
Yeah, 19 different vendors you've got to coordinate. There's no way. You've got to call for some backup and some support.
Right.
You know, one of the things we talked about during the break that I want to make sure we touch on is asset protection. Clark, I know that's a big thing for you and what you guys do. Talk a little bit about why that's important and what's involved in that.
Well, you want to make sure that you remain competitive in the market. And it really doesn't matter where in Houston or Dallas, Fort Worth, Austin, San Antonio. It really doesn't matter where you are. There's product down the street that you're competing against. And so the idea is to make sure that you're being as competitive as possible with them. And so you've got to take care of your property. And especially if someone's going down the street is doing a paint job and you haven't had one in 10 years, but you're still asking for the same rents, probably about time you need to consider doing a paint job.
Right.
Or if your roofs are leaking constantly, whether they're under warranty or not, get them fixed or replaced if you need to. But you've got to protect your asset. It's a huge commitment by, you know, for any lender or private investor to put their money into something like this. What's the point in doing it if you're just going to let it go in the toilet? Mm-hmm. You've got to make sure you're protecting it and that you're remaining competitive within the submarket that you're in. And Houston's one of the most competitive markets there is. I mean, it has been for several years, and it's going to continue to be. There's a whole lot of new product coming on the market these days in all these Texas markets. You know, the new product that's coming on is forcing the older product to upgrade in order to be competitive. Everybody wants the highest rents they can possibly get.
Right.
So that's why it's important to protect your asset.
So there's asset protection from the standpoint of keeping the property competitive, but also asset protection from the standpoint of making sure that the asset doesn't deteriorate.
Correct.
And that seems like it's a should be a high priority with ownership.
Absolutely.
What do you find on that, Stephanie?
It depends on the ownership group.
Sure.
You know, sometimes with a kind of conventional owners, if you will, you know, their priorities are much different, and having expectations with your owners is important. But sometimes owners that are frequently involved it's difficult to get them to understand you have to pay for things you can't necessarily see. And so, you know, there's some things that we need to do from a management perspective to protect that asset that aren't going to build immediate value from a curb appeal standpoint, mm-hmm. but have to be done inside of the property.
Sure.
An example, like pest control, right? Like, if you have mice on your property, you know, those are vendor things that are going to prevent you from renewing your lease because you have this constant problem. But, you know, if you have a serious problem, how are you going to make sure that that's taken care of, that the owner's not going to see immediate new leases from that because it's going to hit you on the back end. Mm-hmm. So making sure that they understand that is important too.
Okay. Well, look, we're going to be winding up the episode. I do want to give Clark, you a chance to talk a little bit about Fidus. I'll let our listeners know that Fidus is the sponsor of this episode. And if you want to be able to get in touch with Fidus or learn more about it, you can go to our website at www.multifamilyradio.com. Click on the episodes tab. Go to this episode and there'll be Fidus's logo. You can click on it and go directly to their website. Same thing with Q10 Property Advisors. But go ahead, Clark, tell us a little bit about Fidus.
Yeah, sure. So Fidus is we're in our third year of operation now. We're based out of Austin. We've got offices in Austin, San Antonio, Houston, Dallas. And we do work in Texas and Oklahoma right now. We've got a little bit of work getting ready to start over in Louisiana. We've done some work in Kansas City as well. So we specialize in roofing, siding, paint, flat work, with concrete, asphalt. The only things we don't do are pools and foundations. We try to stick with what we know, and we're mighty proud of it.
Okay. Stephanie, tell us a little bit about
it. Good. Q10, we're a third-party management company. We do consulting. We do some training, but our kind of bulk of business is third-party management. We have assets from A to C. and anywhere in between. And so we are based in Houston. We have a portfolio in Houston, and we are looking to expand into the San Antonio market. And so that'll probably happen early next year.
Great. Fantastic. Well, thank you guys so much. Peggy, Clark, and Stephanie, thank you for joining us today. I think it was a very interesting topic. We will be back each and every Friday at 10 a.m. right here on 1110 KTEK. You are listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.